Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday afternoon, and we're glad you're with us. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. Working our way through today's Triple Dippers, and I'm about to have a guest on the show, but I tell you what, real quickly, I got to take a moment of personal privilege and read out a text we just got, because every once in a while, this audience blows me away. This is from Matthew from Washington, and that's Washington State, by the way. Matthew from Washington. He and his wife, Hope, live out there. He says, hello, Phil. Thank you all for what you do and for your service, sir. I said, I can't thank you enough for that. I'm unfortunately living in the state of Washington due to my job. I'm from the South. I haven't been back home in over 20-plus years. I'm hopefully moving back to Huntsville soon. I recently visited there with God's intervention, and I found y'all in my rental car, and now I listen to you every day via iHeartRadio. Y'all bring me hope and uplift me in a heavily corrupt and frankly corrupt state. Thank y'all for what you've done and continue to do. Hopefully someday I'll be back home to the South where respectful politeness and just plain what is right will be a greatly welcome. Matthew and Hope, we are glad we have Right Side Ruffians sitting out there, and y'all do some applause right about now. So thank you very much. What an amazing audience. Well, let me just jump on the phones and not leave him waiting any longer. One of the members of Alabama's House delegation, who has been a leader in conservative policy for many, many years, founded the Alabama Policy Institute, has now taken that conservative policy background with him to Congress and is getting good things done up there for the state of Alabama and really the nation. It's Congressman Gary Palmer, who is on the phone with us right now. Congressman, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm glad you started off with that message from the guy in Washington, because yeah. I've been telling you, Phil, you're going national.
Oh, well, wow, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. that's something else. It really is. It's amazing. It's humbling, too. It's just trying to figure out how it happened. But well, listen, let's talk about D.C. stuff with you, because we got two things. One is, just offline, you were telling me about a bill you just passed, your bill, actually, that just is sending over to President Trump for signature, and it ties into my earlier segment. I didn't even realize it. We did one on big, beautiful energy. You've got a bill that corrects a Biden-era policy on water heaters. You want to tell us about that first?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, the Biden administration put out a regulation basically banning natural gas tankless water heaters,
so
the kind that Rinnai makes, and they thought maybe nobody'd be paying attention. But I introduced a bill to repeal that regulation that we passed in the House in February, and Senate passed it yesterday, so it'll be going to the president's desk
Outstanding.
For his signature.
Outstanding. Congratulations.
And, we're trying to protect your gas appliances. But I missed your energy section. I had a meeting Tuesday with Secretary Wright, Secretary of Energy, and I'm telling you, he is a breath of fresh air. He's a brilliant guy and a very, really humble guy. This is a great cabinet, and Secretary Wright's just another example of it.
Well, it absolutely feels different. I mean, you look at it right now, and you know, Trump said he was bringing back the era of common sense, and I think one of the places where we so decidedly lost our way. Well, I mean, just one of the places, but anyway, the bottom line is the energy sector. It's like I didn't even know who we were anymore. With the things that were being done to crush our ability to be energy independent or to have energy make sense or to be energy efficient in a way that actually benefits the consumer, not just an agenda. By the way, I have one of those Rinnai hot water heaters in my house, and the idea that if I ever needed a new one, I wasn't going to be able to get one is antithetical to common sense. So thank you for your bill. I don't think people out here listening may realize that there are people who spend their entire careers in Congress and never have a bill passed in their own name, and you just did. So good on you.
Well, I just try to do my job. But there, before we get on to the reconciliation on the energy side of things, I just spoke down in Millbrook this morning, and I pointed out that under the Biden administration, they were planning to close another 70-something coal-fired plants.
Yeah.
That would have taken over 80 gigawatts of power offline. And we're in the middle of an arms race with China and data in terms of artificial intelligence and quantum computing, and we don't have the power generation capacity to compete. And the announcement Wednesday from the Trump administration that everything is back on the table, coal, natural gas, nuclear. We've got an opportunity, just a window of opportunity, to really regain our status as an energy superpower and to win this what I call an arms race for artificial intelligence and quantum computing, because whoever wins that will not be a superpower. They'll be the superpower. Again, we've got the right people in the right places at the right time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And a lot of folks don't realize that not only just the AI, the how much power that draws, but we have some infrastructure right here in the state of Alabama to include a massive Google complex that are going to rely on that and need it desperately to continue growing and doing good things.
Yep.
Well, let me jump into budgeting, because this next section of the show, I just called it the legislative review, but it's really about the big beautiful bill. And I got an article from Red State here talking about the fact that you guys have passed a major resolution just in the last few days that allows things to move forward. Speaker Johnson said it's the first big beautiful reconciliation package that's being worked on now, because you did get this other bill passed. Tell us where we are. Is the Trump agenda, the big, beautiful bill, is it going to pass House and Senate?
I believe it is. I have done a ton of work on this, and we had some holdouts, and it was really confusing to me, because the bill we passed yesterday is not the bill. It was just moving the process forward, and the Senate bill, we had passed our bill in the House already, and the Senate passed theirs and sent it over. And we had some people that didn't want to vote for it because it wasn't as good as ours. But it really doesn't matter, because that's not the bill. It's, as I told some people, that's not the game. That's just the step we needed to take to get to the game. And now we're at the game where we're going to be crafting this one big, beautiful reconciliation bill. And there's so much misinformation out there, Phil. It's unbelievable. Like I said, I spoke this morning to a pretty big group in Millbrook, and I just asked them by show of hands, how many people have heard we're going to cut Social Security? How many people have heard we're going to cut Medicare? How many have heard we're going to cut Medicaid?
Yeah.
And by show of hands, that tells me you're either getting your media from MSNBC or Facebook, because we're trying to save those programs. And the only people on Social Security who are going to lose their checks are the dead people.
Yeah.
We're going to stop sending checks to dead people.
Which, so, apparently there's a lot of them from what we're hearing from the DOGE reports.
Oh, yeah. We're sending out $3 to $5 billion a year in checks to dead people. And that's money that should be staying in the Social Security Trust Fund to make sure that the people who are supposed to be getting their checks get their checks. So that's what we're doing, and as I had a meeting at the White House Tuesday on some of this stuff, not specifically Social Security or Medicare, but I said this is not just about how we save money; it's how we fix this, because we're literally trying to manage the federal government with 20th century technology. It is so antiquated; it's unbelievable. And we were in a meeting with Musk, and I made this point to him, that he's brought a handful of technically proficient people with 21st century technology on their laptops, written a few algorithms, and in 8 weeks done better oversight of federal government than we've done in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
That's really what's going on.
That's exactly what's going on. It's huge. Hey, let me ask you, too, going back on the issue of the reconciliation bill, a lot of folks don't understand that reconciliation is not something you get to do every day of the week. You're limited to the number of times you can do this, because it allows things to happen with a simple majority vote as opposed to the large scale, like 60 votes in the Senate kind of thing. So this is like, you got to get it done pretty much in one package and get it done fairly soon. Otherwise, you could lose the opportunity. Am I right?
Right. You can only do it on budgets. And so we didn't pass a budget for this fiscal year, which is the fiscal year 25. And we're going to use that budget to do the one big beautiful bill. But we can do it again on the budget for the fiscal year 26.
Okay.
So we could actually do this twice. But this first one is the key. That's where we're going to take care of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, make that permanent. There are a lot of lot of investments sitting on the sideline out there, major purchases of machinery, technology, major projects that are waiting to see if this bill is going to pass. And we need to move this as quickly as we can. We don't want to wait till the end of the year because we'll miss the opportunity for these companies to make these decisions. But reconciliation is really about the Senate, not so much about the House. And the Senate is governed by what's known as the Byrd Rule. So everything that we do in the House in reconciliation has to comply with the rules of the Senate, and that's what makes the process a little bit more difficult. And so we have to make absolute certain that whatever we put in a bill has a direct impact on the budget.
Yeah.
So that we say this so that it's Byrdable. It complies with the Byrd Rule.
Well, I love the fact that it, despite all of the machinations and even the polarizations that happen in D.C., the fact that there are protocols and procedures and decorum and there's actually a set of rules you have to go by because it does keep things in line. And I'm very hopeful y'all get this. I've got about a minute and a half left here. Let me just ask you real quick. One of the things that I know has to be jibed between the House and the Senate is where we're going to find the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts. And is that something that's going to be hard to accomplish, or are you guys already kind of in agreement on where you think you're headed there?
Well, I'm on the Energy and Commerce Committee, and we have the biggest load to carry. They've asked us to identify $880 billion.
Ah.
And we're going through this process. We've already identified $445 billion, and I think I know where the rest of it is, and maybe even more than that. But one of the things I pointed out, Phil, was that when we're doing all these calculations on savings,
yeah,
no one has calculated the savings in interest payments, because all of this money that we're talking about is we're spending in deficit spending. We're borrowing that money, and I figure with the current interest rate on our debt, that 445 is really $460 billion.
Wow. Well, I mean, listen, I love the fact that we're cutting. That alone is like a whole new day. I mean, the idea that government can say we don't have to keep spending at the same levels. Everything's different right now and different in a good way. And I'm glad you're in the middle of it. Congressman, we got to leave it there. But thank you so much for making time for us on a Friday afternoon. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we'll stay in touch.
You too. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Take care. Congressman Gary Palmer, one of the more conservative members of Congress overall from your Alabama delegation. He serves the Birmingham region. And listen, I've known Gary for a number of years. He's a great guy. He founded the Alabama Policy Institute. So he's been like literally in the mix doing conservative policy stuff for a long time. And you're lucky to have him in the delegation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.